Georgette. Not Georgette. Gita. Gita. Georgette would be difficult. Gita is going to come and read for us.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen.
Birthday of the church, so
happy birthday from my heart to yours. And so we're carrying on studying health and culture within church. And today I've been given a talk on being empowered and guided by the Word of God.
Now, I don't know about you, but I love the Word of God. Whether it's in the electronic form or the paper form, I just love God's Word. It's liberating. It's encouraging, it's refreshing, it's an amazing book. But there's two different attitudes that people sometimes have towards God's word. Now, I'm a Star Wars fan. Does anybody remember the Star Wars films? I remember the first one, I think it was 1977, the original Star Wars film, and then there were the others, the sequels. But I love the music in it. And there was a character in it called Darth Vader, the sinister Darth Vader. And whenever he came on the scene, there was always dark music in the background. Doom, 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 doom. And you knew Darth Vader was coming, and you knew it was bad news. But then there's a Star Wars theme tune. And whenever you heard that, there was action. There was good stuff happening because the forces of good were fighting against the forces of darkness. And you know, sometimes when people come to God's word, and sometimes in churches, the word of God can be presented in a dark way, in a depressing way, in a discouraging way, or it can be presented in a liberating way, a way that brings freedom into people's lives. We don't need to be afraid of the Word of God. We can be a friend of the Word of God. So I just love those Star Wars tunes so much, I'm going to do them again. So Mr. Sinister, doom, 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 doom. But we want to be the Star Wars theme tune version. Now, before I actually get onto Ephesians, the Word of God says amazing things about himself. And I want, by introduction, to look at two passages of Scripture. One is Psalms 19. And I want to read from verse 7. So Psalm 19, reading from verse 7. This is in the New International Version. The law of the Lord The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the combs. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the wonder, the beauty of God's word. And another passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 14. So Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I love that. The Bible is a concise book, and God knows our needs, and he has instruction for us. He has guidance for us. But there's a right way and a wrong way of handling God's word. And we're looking at a church. We're looking to build healthy cultures in our church. And we want to see how God's word can actually guide and empower us, not discourage us and put us down. And I tend to think in pictures. And I think God's word should never be used like a bulldozer, you know, crushing everything in front of it. God's word, it's more like traffic cones. Now, I'm not a driver, but I do, I'm very brave, and I do travel in cars with drivers. And sometimes on the motorways and other roads, there's traffic cones. And traffic cones are laid out to redirect the traffic. And the reason it's done is for the benefit of the person traveling in the car. So there might be danger ahead, or there might be roadworks. So the actual traffic cones guide people, not just in the correct direction, but in a direction that is going to benefit them. And so God's word really is, it's more like traffic cones. It's not a bulldozer. So we read in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. So God has put in place people that deliver his word to the body of Christ. And it's not that they're bigger or better, it's just a function that they have within the church. And I always think when we look at the body of Christ, we shouldn't think of a pyramid structure where, you know, you've got like the big ones, the best ones at the top, and then the little ones, the insignificant ones at the bottom. Actually, everyone in the body of Christ, we might have different functions, but it's more like one of those frames you find on a snooker table where all the balls fit into the triangle, but when they're laid down, they're on the same level. So they might have different functions, people within the body of Christ, but they're not bigger or better, just different. And God has put within his church people to be declarers of God's word. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, here's the interesting thing. I love interesting things. If you think of woodwind instruments, so you blow into them, that's right, isn't it? Woodwind instruments, you blow into them and they make different tunes. So you have flutes, you have oboes. I've got to be careful to get the instruments right. Flutes, you've got oboes. It's the same breath that goes into the instruments, but they produce a different sound. So God has put in his body people who deliver the word of God, the same word, but in a different way. So, for example, apostles, they are missionaries. They are sent out once from a church, okay? And their job is actually to establish new communities where the word of God is proclaimed and lived. So that is the job of the apostle. They're actually breaking new ground. They're pioneers, taking the word of God and establishing it in different areas. Then you have, God has called apostles, but he's called prophets. The prophets aren't just like these people that see into the distance, you know, like predicting stuff, but they're forth-tellers. They're not just foretellers, but they're forth-tellers. What is God wanting to say to his church today? And we had a prophet in our midst this morning who gave a message about how God wants you to know freedom in him. So God can speak through prophets today. They're not just something from the past. And prophets are forth-tellers, but they can be foretellers, visionaries. What is the direction of the church? I believe God is saying this. So God can use prophets. But we don't just take, if somebody came to the mic and said, I really believe God's saying this, that, that, and that, and that. It's something that we need to weigh. We need to test it. We don't just assume everything they're saying is true. So we have some missionaries in our midst over here. Fantastic. I've got news for you. God has told me God is going to give you a worldwide mission organization. You're going to be bigger and richer than Joyce Meyer. Well, anyone can say that. But if 10 people you've never met before in different parts of the world all came with the same message, there might be some truth in it. So the word of the prophet needs to be weighed. It needs to be tested. Oh, God didn't tell me that, by the way. I was just using an example. But God can declare his word through a prophet. And then you've got these weird people, the evangelists. Now, I don't know about you, but evangelists, they're a strange breed of people. They seem, how can I put it politely? Very focused. They want everybody to hear about Jesus. Which brings me onto this. Has anybody heard of the Pocket Testament League? Hands up, Pocket Testament League. So Mr. Cadbury, Mr. Chocolate Man, his daughter in the late 1800s, she became a Christian, born-again Christian, and she encouraged her friends to actually sew pockets in their garments, in their dresses, and to carry a gospel around so they're always prepared to share their faith. And I find that evangelists, they don't just take opportunities to share faith, they make them. So wherever they go, their heads are looking. They're looking for opportunities to get into conversations. I know somebody just like that. And he just happened to have 130 of these gospels. But I carried three of these on one particular day. And I got talking to a man of a different faith. And these are all gospels of John. So they've got the text of the Gospel of John, and they've also got some notes about how we can actually enter into a relationship with God. And there's also details where we can send off for further information. And they have produced these Gospels of John, Pocket Testament League, with different covers, attractive covers. So that one's got birds flying in the sky. That one's a lovely one. This is a woods, a nice little track running through a woods. And I love this one. It's got a rose on. So I carry these gospels on me, and sometimes I give three of them away. Sometimes it's just one, but they're handy to have with you. So I went to see a friend the other day, and we've not spoken properly for over a year, and we met up for a coffee, and she said to me, she says, I just want to thank you, Ian, that you'd led me into a relationship with God. I didn't have any connection with God, but you led me into a relationship with God. And I thought, wow, why didn't you tell me that a year ago? And then after I left her, she's a solicitor. So she's in the legal profession. So then I hopped on a train, and I was visiting somebody from a different faith in Birmingham, and I needed to get a taxi driver to, I needed to hire a taxi to get to this place. So I was looking at the counter, and it said £7.50 when he pulled up. So I said to him, I said, how much do I owe you? He says, £7.50. I says, well, did you know today is International Be Nice to Taxi Driver Day? I made that one up. And I gave him a £10 note, and I said, keep the change, and here's just something for you to read. It'll be a blessing, okay? On the same day, I met this person who was on their mobile phone. I love talking to strangers. Somebody on their mobile phone speaking a funny language. Is there anybody from Hungary in here? Okay. It turned out she was Hungarian and a law student. So that was a second law student in one day. Somebody involved in law. And so she started saying she was a second year student. She was doing, I think it was 5 years of law. And she says, I want to be a prosecuting attorney. She says, no mercy. She says, if anybody's committed a crime, she says, I want them banged up for good. You know, if you commit the crime, you pay the punishment. She says, none of this defense counsel and stuff. I'm going for the jugular vein. If you've done it wrong, you go to jail. Then she tells me that she'd just been kicked off the train earlier that day for fare jumping. And she'd not for not paying her fare, she was fined £1,000 and she was kicked off at Stoke-on-Trent station. And she said to me, so I gave him false name, false address, false details. I thought, great, these are the people that are in the legal profession. But I said to her, I said, ladies love flowers. I says, I've got a little gift for you and it's got a lovely flower on. And I gave her this Gospel of John. And she goes, wow, she says, this is for me. I said, it's my gift to you. You know, it's so easy to share faith, especially if you've got 130 of these gospels at home. And you can get 30 of these per month, free of charge, if you're not able to give a donation. Pocket Testament League, do some investigating. It's worth it. But the evangelist, they tend to be weird people. They tend to be focused. They just want to share Jesus with everybody. And I know somebody just like that. And then you have the pastors and the teachers. So Ephesians talks about the pastors and the teachers. And some Bible scholars will argue it's not two people, but it's one person doing two functions. So we don't have a pastor and a teacher. We have a pastor and a teacher in one person. But leaving aside the arguments in churches and with scholarship and stuff, God has placed in his body those who are able to pastor, to be shepherds, to feed the flock, to guide the flock, to nurture the flock, to care for the flock, and teachers. Now, you can always tell a teacher because they often say things like, it is like, it is like, it is like, and they love to expand on scripture, go into the Greek, the Hebrew, and trying to bring the practical application. That is the role of the teacher. And the pastor is the shepherd, he's the guide, he's the one that's feeding the flock, he loves the flock. And I read a commentary the other day, and in the times of Jesus, when a sheep went astray, the shepherd would go out looking for the sheep, and he would always bring it back, whether it was alive or dead. They had to find that sheep. That's how dedicated the shepherd was to finding a missing sheep. Now, hopefully, you don't find any dead sheep, but that heart of the shepherd is that everyone returns safely. And this is the beauty of the body of Christ. People have been put in different positions, different authorities, bringing the word of God in its different aspects for different purposes. And we're thinking about healthy culture. We're thinking about being guided and empowered by the word of God. And it's interesting, the word, some Bibles talk about the equipping of the saints. The NIV says in verse 13, to prepare God's people for works of service. And in the Greek text, there's this thought of somebody setting a bone that is broken, or mending fishing nets. So interestingly, within the body of Christ, God has brought what's called the fivefold ministry to actually empower others, equip others, make others skillful, and put things together that are broken. And I think that's amazing. Doesn't that show how God cares for his church? It's amazing, isn't it? God loves his church so much, and he recognizes that there is brokenness, that there is struggles, but we have people within the church that are helping to set those bones, to fix those broken nets, and to bring people to healing and maturity. In the Message translation of that verse, the writer says that God has handed out gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. Wow, I love that. Trained servant work. Working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And that's a beautiful smile. God wants to bring completeness. He wants to bring maturity. He wants to bring wholeness and health to his church. So verse 12, it talks about some of the golden nuggets that I notice. He wants his church to be built up. He wants it to be brought to unity. He wants to bring it to maturity. And also in verse 14, he wants to bring stability. He wants his church to be stable. Now, has anybody heard of a pirouette? Okay, pirouette. So ballet dancers do pirouettes. And have you seen them where they just spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and they flick their head and they're spinning and they're spinning? Why is it they don't get dizzy? Why is it they don't fall over? Well, I am not a ballerina. Now, with my beautiful physique, you might have thought I'm a ballerina. I'm not. I fooled you. I'm not. But how a ballerina stays balanced, how they stay in one as they're spinning around and they're not getting dizzy and falling over, how are they keeping stability? They practice what's called spotting. So they focus their eyes on a particular point, and if you notice, they start spinning their body and their head flips around at the last time, and their eyes are focused on one spot. And that's why it's called spotting. And I don't know how it works, but that helps them not to get dizzy, not to fall over. They remain stable. And God wants to bring stability to his church. And could I suggest to each one of us that we all need to do spiritual spotting? Isaiah 26, verse 3. As a promise, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you." Isaiah 26, verse 3. So think of the ballerina spinning and spotting, keeping focused on one place so he or she doesn't fall over. In the same way, we need to practice spiritual spotting. We need to keep our eyes focused on God. And part of that comes from studying God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Spiritual spotting. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the more we do that, we actually protect ourselves and guard ourselves against all sorts of spiritual abuse and wrong teaching. If you remember, in Ephesians 4, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. So Paul's talking about the danger of false teaching. And the antidote to false teaching is right teaching, is real teaching, good, solid teaching from the scripture. So we have here Paul, he's not just talked about the people that God has placed, gifted in the church to become dispensers of God's word, but he also reminds the importance of guarding ourselves from false teaching. And realizing that true teaching, real teaching, just like those traffic cones that would guard us into a safe place, that solid Bible teaching will actually protect us from being blown away and following all the cunningness and craftiness of men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, in the Passion Translation, it says, always be eager to present yourselves before God as a perfect and mature minister without shame, as one who correctly explains the word of God. I'll read that again. Always be eager to present yourselves before God as a perfect and mature minister without shame, as one who correctly explains the words of God. Now, does anybody remember about 30 years ago, Waco, Texas, David Koresh? Now, I was a student at the time, and basically what happened was this guy called David Koresh, he even went around Bible schools and churches, subtly recruiting people and basically telling them that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, and they needed to go to America, and they had this compound in Waco, Texas. And it came to a very tragic end. And I think it's about 29 people from England died in the Waco tragedy. And I think over 70 people in all lost their lives. And David Koresh claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be the Messiah. And he could show you passages in Prophet Isaiah, from Daniel, from Ezekiel, and somehow he was able to hoodwink people, and they followed him, and they indeed followed him to their death. And just a few weeks ago, there was a memorial at a college called Newbold College of Higher Education, where they had a service of reflection, remembrance, to remember what happened 30 years ago, because church members that they knew in Manchester and in Nottingham had succumbed to the manipulative teaching of this David Koresh and lost their lives. And I just want to, so they had a time of reflection, they had interviews with families that were affected who lost children, and some whole families were lost in this tragedy. Christian people that had been misguided. And at the end of this memorial service, I just want to read out part of the closing prayer. And remember, we're thinking about healthy church culture. We're thinking about how the Word of God should guide us and equip us. And it needs to be done rightly, not like a bulldozer, but like the traffic cones. So this is part of the closing prayer of this memorial service that just happened a couple of weeks ago. As a church, help us to learn lessons. Help us not to be so judgmental. Help us to provide a safe environment for our members and people who interact with us, so they too can flourish as a result of your presence. And this almost moved me to tears. Help us to be a caring, personal, and compassionate church, and a church protected by your presence in our lives. I'll just read that. It's part of the prayer. As a church, help us to learn lessons. Help us not to be so judgmental. Help us to provide a safe environment for our members and people who interact with us so they too can flourish as a result of your presence. Help us to be a caring, personal, and compassionate church, and a church protected by your presence in our lives. Such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. So in conclusion, some practical things that we can do. Thinking about the Word of God, thinking about how it guides and empowers. Thinking that we're not doom, 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 doom. We want to be Yep. Practical things we can do. First of all, for those teaching from the pulpit, from those in positions of authority over groups, small groups that are teaching the Word of God, remember to invite the Spirit of God to direct, inspire, and guide your teaching. What is it that God wants to communicate to the hearts of the congregation that are under your care, all the small groups that are under your care? Remember, obtain the word before you proclaim the word. Obtain the word before you proclaim the word. Two, remember to lay down the traffic cones, not to run over people with a bulldozer. And I put a note there, John 1 verse 14. It says that Jesus came with grace and truth. We can have a dumper truck full of truth and it just crushes people. We need to balance it with grace and truth. And some takeaways, some practical things for everyone. It's a bit of a no-brainer, this. Get into the habit of daily Bible reading. Wow, you can either, there's so many apps and stuff. You can actually have the Bible that's read to you, spoken to you. You don't necessarily need to read it, but you can hear it as long as we have the Word of God filling our hearts. So get into the habit of daily Bible reading. And I love the old method. You start at Genesis and you keep turning right. And eventually you get to the end. And if that gets a little bit too tedious, start at Genesis and keep turning right. And then also start in Job and keep turning right. And start in Matthew and keep turning right. So you've got 3 points in the Bible. Because some of the Bible can be seems quite heavy. Some is really easy to understand. But I would encourage you, get into the habit of daily Bible reading and read throughout the whole Bible. Every page is like a fresh revelation of God. Secondly, immerse yourself in the character of God. And what I mean by that is, as you're reading the Bible, fall in love with this amazing God. What's it telling you about his character? Get excited about God again in your Bible reading. Immerse yourself in the character of God. Thirdly, as you're reading through the scriptures, learn to improve yourself before you look at the faults of others. I believe in a God of miracles. I read this verse in the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. For years I've been swift to speak, slow to hear. But I've been challenged by this verse. I had a conversation with a senior Christian minister last Monday who's got a worldwide influence, not just local. I was with him for 2 hours and I only spoke for 15 minutes because I deliberately remembered that scripture, be swift to hear, slow to speak. It was amazing. And he never noticed because he didn't know that I normally do all the talking. Fantastic. So as we read through scripture, seek to improve yourselves before you look at the faults of others. I've got what I call a monkey brain. And what I mean by that is, if ever you've seen like nature programs, you see monkeys, you're smiling a lot, laughing. I've got a monkey brain. You see monkeys, they just jump from tree to tree, tree to tree, whee, tree to tree. That's the way my brain works. I've got a monkey brain. I'm thinking all over the place, thinking different things all the time. And God can use that, but I'm appreciating that sometimes I need to be a little bit more focused, and when I'm with people, a lot less of me and more of them. So I'm working on it, but I kept quiet all that time, a two-hour conversation, and I only spoke for 15 minutes. I listened and I asked questions to draw the conversation out of the other person. That's a miracle for me. And also finally, look for ways to love our church members and other people outside the church, but we're thinking in particular about healthy church culture. Look for ways to love church members. And Lisa said something the other day which was absolutely brilliant, I never thought about. We need to love people in the way that will be received well. What is it that makes people tick? So, for example, there's no point buying a bunch of flowers to somebody who's got really bad hay fever, and every time they have a bunch of flowers, it makes them feel sick. We need to find ways that appeal to that person, how they feel loved, how they receive love. So something that happened very recently to me, somebody came on one of these pilgrimages from the Holy Land, Jerusalem, all that area, Israel. I'm not somebody who enjoys watching holiday photos, seeing holiday photos. But I thought, no, this person just loved their trip to Israel so much. I contacted them and I said, can I meet up? I would love to see your photographs. He's just so thrilled. And I'm even going to get a cup of coffee with it and view it on the big screen. Fantastic. And that's what made him feel special. So look for ways to love our church members in a way that will actually be well received by them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 in the Message. It says, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. So in closing, love your spiritual family. And I say these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.